Greetings, friends, fellow patriots, fellow citizens, and even non-citizens, and welcome to this week's Eclipse version of the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. Yes, we're coming to you from Akron, Ohio, which is right in the path of the eclipse that's supposed to take place, that will take place on Monday, and everybody's praying for some good weather, and it looks like we might have at least partially cloudy skies, if not, you know, clear skies, so we're pretty excited about that. But welcome to all of you, whether you've been a long-time listener or a new listener to this podcast, we're sure glad you've decided to join us. My name is Tom Zawistowski. I'm the host of this podcast, and I am the president of the We the People Convention. And this podcast and our website, which we're very proud of, and our emails and our text messages and our phone app, and our trips to speak to groups around the state and the nation and give donations to other conservative groups that need help are all paid for through the generous donations of the donors to the We the People Convention. And we thank them for their support, particularly in these tough economic times. And if you'd like to join them in supporting us, you can do so by going to wethepeopleconvention.org. And right on the front page, there's a donate link, and we would really appreciate your support. So, as I said, you know, everybody's excited about the eclipse on the 8th. It's going to be, you know, I forget how, in Ohio alone, it's going to pass over Cincinnati, Dayton, Columbus, and Cleveland. So, like 7.1 million of the 11 million people in Ohio are going to be in the direct path of the eclipse. And so that's going to be pretty cool. It seems a little strange to me. I don't know what's going on in your state, because this thing is going from Texas to Maine and everywhere in between. But it really struck me as strange that the city of Niagara Falls declared a state of emergency, and schools are closed and businesses are shutting down. I don't quite get it. I mean, an eclipse is cool. It's going to last for, like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 minutes. I don't know what it's going to last for the full eclipse, maybe 4 minutes. And that's going to be cool. But I don't know. I just can't imagine that we're going to have the hysteria that they're talking about when it's tracking over such a wide range. I mean, if it was only happening in Akron, Ohio, sure, there'd be millions of people coming here. But I don't get it. Anyway, if you're excited about it, good. It's good to be excited about something, you know, that's natural, not political. You know, that's something that happens very rarely. I think the next one, you know, will all be gone when the next one comes. So enjoy. Enjoy. In the meantime, you know, we've got to deal with the realities of what's going on in our country and our world. And so that's why you watch this podcast. This is a news aggregation podcast. We basically look at the information that comes out during the week, and then we go through that and try to cut out the propaganda, the lies, and try to find some truth that affects your and my individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. That's what this is about. Okay, that's what this is about. Now, I will tell you that I had the privilege this week of going to a high school in Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio. I was invited by the professor, the teacher there, who has a political science class that's only for seniors. And they have a speakers series there that's been going on for 49 years. And he reached out to me because it's so hard to get conservative voices. Lots of lefties want to go talk to these kids, but not a lot of the conservatives. So I felt compelled to go, and I'm glad I did, and I learned a lot. I wanted, you know, they said I could Zoom in and all that. I said, nope, I'm going in person. I want to meet these kids personally. I want them to meet me. I want them to hear, you know, what I had to say, and I wanted to hear what they had to say, and we did take questions. So here's the what I learned, and this is really frightening to me. These are high school seniors. They had no idea about fentanyl. No idea. They had no idea. I said, how many kids your age are dying, you know, your age into age like 25, 35, are dying in the U.S. from fentanyl poisoning? Not one answer. There were probably 30 kids in the first three students, and because these are guys are young adults. I mean, they're going to graduate from high school in a month, like early May, okay? There were probably 30 young adults in the first class, probably 40 in the second class. Not one of them knew anything about fentanyl. I said, where's fentanyl come from? No idea. I talked to them about how China makes the ingredients, how they have ports in Mexico that China built to bring in the fentanyl ingredients, and they have plants in Mexico by these ports that are staffed by Chinese nationals who make the fentanyl and then sell it to the drug cartels who bring it into the United States to kill them. You should have seen their faces. They had no idea. They had no idea. When I asked them questions like, have you watched the video on Netflix, The Social Dilemma, which I've talked to you guys about, and if you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. Because the video talks about how social media is causing young girls particularly to kill themselves and ruining, putting people in depression and all that. Only one girl in the first class and like two others in the second class had watched that video. And when I said to them, what's the most important thing about the movie Social Dilemma? What was most striking to you? They had no answer. I said, how about the fact that the movie was basically an interview with all the people who made Facebook, Twitter, Google, search, Instagram, whatever. All the people who made it. What was the most important thing? Every one of them said, we don't let our children use the internet or have a phone because we know it will hurt them. And I said to these young kids, these young adults, I said, it's okay, they will protect their kids, but it's okay for them to hurt you. So it was an eye-opening conversation, okay? And I got the trans question, and I got, you know, some other questions. They were very polite. There was no hatred because I was a conservative. It's kind of, I think it was like seeing a unicorn. You know, they'd never seen one before, so they were more like, whoa, what the heck's this guy doing here? But I'm very appreciative of the fact that I got to go see how misinformed and ill-informed our youth are and how important it is for us to support people like Turning Point USA and other groups that are reaching out to young Americans who just don't have a clue what's going on. And I said to them, you are the most propagandized humans in the history of the world. No one is telling you the truth. No one. And I said, you must be on a quest for the truth. Also, really disappointing, I said, how many of you know, watch Jordan Peterson? One girl. I said, you got to be kidding me. You have to be kidding. I said, if you're a male and you're not watching Jordan Peterson, you have no idea what they're doing to you. You have no understanding of how to get meaning out of your life. So anyway, I was glad I went, and you guys, donations, make that possible for me to, you know, spend the money to go down. It wasn't a lot of money, but, you know, it's still, I have to go, and I appreciate you supporting me and doing that, but I want to share that with you. I prayed on the way down. I prayed sincerely for God to help me at least influence one kid. If we could save one of those 70 kids, it was worth the 6 hours I spent to make that happen. Okay. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. As you can tell, our flag is still flying upside down. Sorry, I have to have the blind down because the sun's going to come in. But it's not out of disrespect for our country or our flag. It is a warning to you and to our fellow citizens that we are under attack by the communist Chinese and global communism, and they are attempting to destroy you and I. As I said to those high school kids, they are killing 100,000 of you a year, okay? That's why that flag's upside down. That's why you should fly your flag upside down. And if you need more information, like a sign to put in your yard that says, why is my flag upside down? Or little handout cards that you can print and give out to people to talk about the war we're in with China, go to wethepeopleconvention.org and search on flag upside down. And you'll see that along with a video from Gordon Chang about the fact that we're at war with China, that China's at war with us, but we pretend we're not at war. And I'll have more on that here later in the podcast. We always remember our January 6th political prisoners. Again, you know, why do we do that? Because they are the canary in the coal mine. Until these people who are being illegally persecuted by misuse of the law, abuse of our justice system, by the communists in the Biden regime, in our court systems, in the FBI, in the DOJ, until they are freed and pardoned and given restitution for the crime that our nation has committed upon them, we will not have our nation back. And again, for those of you who are new to the podcast, it's real simple. It's about the rule of law, equal justice under the law. We will say flat out, there are people on January 6th who fought with police, who broke things, who stole things, and they need to pay for their crime. But they shouldn't get 20 years in prison for a misdemeanor when Black Lives Matter walks away with nothing. They're released the day they're arrested. Okay? Equal justice under the law. Without that, we are not a nation at all. That's our goal. That's how you know we've won, okay? You got to define victory so that when you're fighting, you know what you're fighting for. That's what we're fighting for. So we always begin our podcast with a prayer for the January 6th political prisoners, their families, and their attorneys, that God will help them get through this horrible, horrible circumstance and come out of it and be able to live a free life again as American citizens. So join me in a prayer for all the January 6th political prisoners. Thank you. Keep him in your prayers every day if you can. I really appreciate it. The January 6th story I've got for you this week is a disturbing one, but one that I'm thinking is going to end up okay. The DOJ is now trying to get Ashley Babbitt's trial moved to Washington, D.C., and Judicial Watch is behind this. Our good friend Tom Fitton, who has helped We the People Convention over the years. We have a relationship with Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch asked the court to deny Biden Justice Department's request to transfer Ashley Babbitt's $30 million wrongful death lawsuit from California to Washington, D.C. So, again, you just can't believe what they're willing to do. Judicial Watch announced today that it has asked the federal court to deny the U.S. government's request to transfer Ashley Babbitt's wrongful death lawsuit from California to Washington, D.C. Judicial Watch filed the lawsuit on January 5th of 2024 in the U.S. District Court of Southern California because that's where Ashley Babbitt lived, okay? And so that's why they filed it there. Judicial Watch, argues that the defendant's position to transfer the venue illustrates and underscores the prejudice and injustice that plaintiffs would face if venue were transferred to the District of Columbia. Defendant mentions 80 Capitol Police officers and 60 Metropolitan Police officers that were injured and connects the deaths of three officers to the events on that day, thus connecting Ashley Babbitt to these deaths and other injuries as if she caused them. The request for a change in venue is clearly influenced by defendant's strongest motivation for change of venue, which is to select the forum where it feels it would receive a favorable process and outcome based on adversity against January 6th participants. By its motion, the DOJ, hopes to unfairly, unjustly connect Ashley Babbitt to violence, injuries, and death for which she is blameless and connect her to association to thousands of individuals convicted of misdemeanors and felonies for which she was never charged and is unable to present a defense due to the lawless actions of one of the defendant's employees and shooting her and killing her. It's no secret that the District of Columbia is a hostile forum for January 6th defendants. It's also prejudicial, biased against Ashley Babbitt. And listen to this. For example, during a recent sentencing hearing in the District of Columbia in the United States versus Daniel Goodwin. Now again, this is a January 6th defendant who has no connection to Ashley Babbitt. District Judge Reggie B. Walton, who is someone we need to have put on trial for his abuse of the law system, said this. District Judge Reggie B. Walton made the following statement to the defendant and his counsel regarding the shooting of Ashley Babbitt. Now, why is he even bringing that up? Okay? He said, "You should not have been, you cannot convince me that somehow what she was doing was somehow justified and the police did not have justification for taking the action they took. You can't convince me of that. You're talking about the shooting of an unarmed woman without warning by a police officer is proper action? Under what jurisdiction? Under any police shooting? Are you kidding me? If she was a black woman, would he be saying this? Hell no. Judge Walton's statements, evidence he has already predetermined, are a crucial issue in this case, whether Ashley Babbitt's killing was justified. Judge Walton made other biased comments on the record, including, well, she shouldn't have been coming through the window, and this man who is protecting the Capitol ends up being called a thug. That is just mind-boggling. Unfortunately, Judge Walton is speaking for many others who are at least thinking behind the bench in the District of Columbia courts. Okay? So they're trying to get her case moved to D.C. so it can be rigged. There's no equal justice under the law. They don't want this police officer to be, he had no penalties. This police officer shot and killed Ashley Babbitt, violating every rule that the Capitol Police have in that situation. He was not disciplined. They tried to treat him as a hero. And now, thanks to Judicial Watch, hopefully he's going to be bankrupt. But he should be charged with murder because that was a completely uncalled for shooting. But that's the world we live in, folks. And it's frightening. But thank goodness for Judicial Watch and Tom Fitton, those guys, for standing up for her. Now, I want to move on to this video that I shared with you guys, okay? This is from Tucker Carlson, and it's an interview with a doctor. His name is Nellis, okay? And this guy's from Germany. And the article, the video, and there's a book that says, was COVID a mind-altering drug designed to make humans more controllable? Watch this disturbing interview if you have a membership to the Tucker Carlson Network. Now, I'm going to play you a short clip of this video because it's 49 minutes long, but I'm telling you, you need to watch this because this is a whole new level of anger about COVID. Okay? Now, let me just play this short clip. It's only going to be a couple minutes, and then I'll talk more about this. This is unreal.
Which we require for curiosity, psychological resilience, and our ability to think.
And those are the effects of the vax, of the mRNA vaccine.
Not only the vax, the virus itself.
I think you may be, I mean, this, it's a lot to take in, but you may be answering the question, why after the mRNA vax was shown not to stop transmission, did governments continue to push it on their populations?
Absolutely. They pushed it even on unborn children, you know, and they,
yes,
women who are pregnant, young children. So these are all different pieces of a puzzle I couldn't understand. And only when I realized it's not about health, it's not about not even money, it's about conquering the human mind, then it totally made sense suddenly. And all the pieces of the puzzle fell together seamless, and I had a picture in front of me which clearly showed what they are up to. And that is really to undermine the human ability to think, and it's even worse than that. It's even worse than that which I show in the book. Because we need this production of these new nerve cells not only for curiosity, psychological resilience, or our ability to think. They are also necessary for memorizing and retrieving new memories. So if you shut down this production and force the hippocampus to memorize all these different stories, these fear-mongering narratives, then these narratives will enter the brain. They will be memorized in the hippocampus, but for a cost. They will override pre-existing memories. There's no other way around it, because you have no production of new nerve cells allowing new memories formed without harming previous ones. So what happens is you override with the narratives, with the fear narratives, with the technocratic narratives, you override your pre-existing memories, your individuality or your personality, and change it.
If intentional, this would be the most evil thing ever done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I wrote the book, my wife actually is the person who first reads it and corrects it, and she almost got a heart attack doing that. I mean, she had really problems reading chapter by chapter because the evil that the book reveals is traumatic.
That's not the half of it, folks. Basically, what he's saying is, and he's a qualified medical neurologist type person, okay, that the COVID disease was engineered to interfere with your ability to think, and the vaccine made it worse. And he talks in one section of this, and so here I want to say this. So it's at wethepeopleconvention.org, right? You can go to wethepeopleconvention.org, but I do not have the video posted there because it belongs to Tucker Carlson. Now, I have posted other videos of his because they've put them on YouTube, which means they're open to the public free of charge. And I will post those. But if you don't have a membership to the Tucker Carlson Network, which is like $9 a month, I'm begging you to get one, because you're hearing things from Tucker Carlson no one else is talking about. Okay. And this is a classic example. But in this article, so what I did do, I did put the transcript. You can read the transcript. It's a little rough. They didn't use a very good AI to do that. There's some words that are messed up, and I tried to edit some of those. But you can read the transcript. In one part of it, he talks about how this is premeditated. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew all about the mRNA vaccines. They knew about the fact that it would interfere with the brain. They did this intentionally, and he documents it. Okay, and I also have a link to his book. Okay, the book is right there. You can see the picture of the book. Okay, and it's called The Indoctrinated Brain. And this is about, you know, his research in Germany saying what they were doing to our ability to think. To think. And he's talking about how this is why so many people have, you know, the COVID fog and anxiety, and we just can't seem to think like we used to, and we don't reason. And we don't have common sense. He says it's interfering with the hippocampus in our brains. And then there's a section at the end where he talks about how the shots. And I thought about this when this was going on. When I got vaccines as a kid, it was always into the muscle. You got it in your butt. You got it in your arm. It was into the muscle. But why were they putting the mRNA vaccines into a vein? Because they wanted to get to the brain. They wanted to go through the bloodstream. And he says they could have done it. He lists like five other ways they could have done it. And they didn't, on purpose. And then at the end, he talks about the fact that we needed to be taking lithium to help our brains. And vitamin D3. I know a lot of you guys do vitamin D3. I never heard about taking lithium. So what did I do? I went and researched it. And sure enough, there is all kinds of evidence that lithium helps repair brain memory loss and things, brain function, reduces anxiety. How come none of my doctors have ever said anything about it? How come none of the people that were treating people for long COVID said anything about it? It's pitchfork and torches time, folks. This is, and as Tucker Carlson said, this is the worst thing that's ever been done in human history to the world population. And we're letting it happen. And no one's been held responsible. Not a soul. We've got to win this damn election this year. And then we got to force, I mean, literally like Nuremberg trials of everyone from Fauci on down that had anything to do with this. All the pharmaceutical companies, all their CEOs, all their investors, all the people involved with the bio labs in Ukraine and China and everywhere. I'm talking about crimes against humanity. You watch that video. You talk about freaking me out. Holy cow. Sign up with Tucker Carlson, because he's giving you news that you can't get anywhere else. Okay, so I want to share that with you and explain it to you a little bit. Okay, now I want to get on to some other, you know, political news for the week, and that is important. Charlie Kirk, if you guys listen to Charlie Kirk at noon on the radio, he started this thing where he showed that the entire presidential election could come down to the fact that Nebraska does not have a winner-take-all electoral college. You always, you know, remember when you see the electoral college, all the states except for Maine and Nebraska are winner-take-all. So if you, you know, if you win the popular vote in your state, you know, if Trump wins Ohio, he gets all the electoral college votes from Ohio. Well, in Nebraska, they have this goofy thing where it's by congressional district, and in like Omaha, where the libs are, they usually win, and so it's a split. And so one, you know, so Biden would get one electoral vote, and so would Trump, even though Trump would win the state overwhelmingly. So he went, Charlie Kirk went on this crusade because Nebraska's, you know, legislature, and I believe they don't have a Senate and a House, they just have a bicameral legislature, is in session. And then he said they can change this right now because the way it looks is if Trump can win Nevada, which he's winning big, and Arizona, which he's winning big, and then just the regular southern states like Georgia and North Carolina, even if he loses Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Trump still wins. Okay? But only if Nebraska flips, because if Nebraska doesn't flip, Trump would only have 269 electoral votes and he needs 270. So Charlie Kirk went on the warpath asking his listeners to call. Then the governor of Nebraska and President Trump weighed in. Nebraska Republican Governor Jim Pillen has backed a bill that would change how Nebraska allocates electoral college votes, moving to the same winner-take-all model as most other states. This would likely weaken Democratic candidate Joe Biden and strengthen Republican candidate Donald Trump. Well, of course, Nebraska is a red state, okay? Pillen's intervention followed a call to action by Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk, who spoke out against the way Nebraska currently awards electors. Since 1991, Nebraska has awarded the overall winner in the presidential election two electors and three more to the winners in its three congressional districts. While the Cornhusker state is largely Republican, the Omaha district voted Democrat in 2020. In all of Nebraska's electors were awarded to winner-take-all basis, Biden would lose one of its paths to victory if Trump flipped Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada in November. Okay? But basically, what's happened now is the leader of the legislature in Nebraska is giving this, oh, we don't have enough time. Geez, we don't know, you know, if we can get this done. And Kirk lost it on Friday. He was basically telling only Nebraska people to call during the week, be nice, encourage them to do what's right because you're the majority, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, if you know, don't call if you're not in the state because you know they don't want to hear that. By Friday, he's like, burn the place down. Call them all. Get on them. Now, we have about, in the We the People Convention, as you know, we have members in all 50 states. We have about 350 members in Nebraska. I would ask all of you to reach out to your representatives and say, we need to do this. We need to do this. We can't, Nebraska cannot be in a position where next November, we lost the presidency by one vote because you didn't do this, okay? So it's been a pretty wild scene, and Charlie's going to Nebraska on Tuesday to hold a rally at the State House. And that should be quite a scene. And the Democrats are spending money. They're bribing politicians. They're flying people in. Oh, because we can't change this. How quickly do you think the Dems would do this in California or Michigan or anywhere else if they could gain an advantage? How fast do you think they'd do this? Like that. How come Republicans can't? Because they're Republicans, not Republicans, right? That's why I always say it. It's frustrating as all get out. Just really is, folks. So just, you know, if you're in Nebraska, please make the calls. Go see them in person. If they have a local office, go see their staff and say, listen, man, America's on the line. Nebraska needs to answer the bell. Okay? Take action. That's my first call to action this week's podcast. Please do that. This is a really good story, and a lot of you reacted to it. Uh-oh, Dems' effort to register young voters is backfiring. And this is a funny story. The Washington Post has an article about Democrat data scientist Aaron Strauss, who helps to direct progressive spending at the firm Open Labs, warning his peers that registering young people to vote, and young people of color specifically, is helping Donald Trump. And it's just great. The data shows that when Democrats help register young voters, they end up registering people who will vote for Trump. Now they are considering not even holding voter registration drives in target markets because they align with Trump. Okay? So you got to love that, because, you know, remember we talked about how Biden is saying, we're going to use work study money to get college students to go out and register young people. The problem is they're losing the young people. The young people are not for what they're selling. And it's not just for Trump. Watch this report. Latino support for RFK Jr. could derail Biden. So what does that mean? Well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., possible appearance on the 2024 presidential ballot could damage President Joe Biden among Latino voters, Politico reported. A previously unreported mid-February poll by Democrat group Equus Research showed Kennedy performing surprisingly well among Latino voters in a dozen battleground states. In 2020, Biden won 59% of the Hispanic vote. Those survey results, which were shared with national and state party leaders, have resulted in Latino Democrats taking the threat of Kennedy's campaign most seriously. The poll of 2010 registered Latino voters found Kennedy winning 1 in 5 young Latino voters and also capturing 21% of Latino support in Nevada and 17% in Arizona. In the survey, Biden's struggles to win over Latinos resulted in former President Donald Trump winning among Hispanics overall in 12 battleground states, 41-34. Now remember, Biden won with 59% of historic Hispanic vote in 2020. If he's down to 34, there's no chance he can win, okay? The numbers in November likely would help a Republican win Nevada and Arizona. Many Democrats nationally don't believe Kennedy, who is 7 years old, will get more than 1% of the vote. That's insane. I mean, he's going to get 6-9%, I think. Still, his support could be enough to alter the outcome of the presidential election. It's a big threat to them if Kennedy gets on the ballot in these two states, Arizona and Nevada. He would be pulling more than from Biden, Mike Noble, the founder of Arizona-based polling firm Noble Predictive Insights, told Politico. That road to 270 runs through the Southwest, and for them to dismiss Kennedy is silly. Okay, so now they say they think you're going to get 1% of the vote, but then based on the statistics in their poll, in Nevada, Hispanic voters are 18.8% of the total voters. And if he's going to get 21% of that, that's 3.95%, almost 4%. Instead of 1%, you bet it's going to make a difference. And that's why I told you last week that they put together an entire campaign. They have a whole staff funded to trash RFK Jr., okay? And this bogus claim that he's being funded by Trump people, there's one guy who gave money to Trump and is giving money to Kennedy, and that's it. It's all bullcrap. So just expose it. Expose the bull crap when people tell you that, okay? He's being funded by the woman, Shanahan, okay, who's going to be his VP, who is married to Sergey Brin from Google and is going to fund his campaign. That's where he's getting his money, not from Republicans, okay? Now, speaking of money, though, all you hear, oh, Trump has got the people, but the Democrats have the money. The Democrats have all the money. They're just killing them in money. Really? That's why you watch this show. Because that's propaganda. So here's the first story. Without Ronna McDaniel, Republicans see a big spike in fundraising that should worry Democrats. The Joint Fundraising Committee, made up of the RNC and several Trump-centered entities, announced a total of $65.6 million raised during March alone. That comes after the resignation of Ronna McDaniel as chairwoman of the Republican Party apparatus. Okay? The Republican National Committee announced $65.6 million raised, with $93.1 million on hand after March. Quarterly reports for joint committees are due on the 15th of April, okay, and we'll see more what's going on. Now, I've asked you guys, I said, we complained about the RNC, they did nothing, they raised no money, they spent money on flowers and trips and stuff, and Ronald McDaniel needed to go. She's gone. The new people at the RNC, including Laura Trump, who's kind of being in the face of this, they're acting. And I asked you to give to the RNC. I'm asking you again, second ask of the show, because they're filing lawsuits in blue states to fight the election fraud. They're helping to organize the Republican, you know, party in each state for once to help Trump win, okay? And to help congressional candidates win and Senate candidates win. They deserve your support. Thank you if you gave to them. But this is big news. And so here's the other propaganda that came out. Trump to rake in $43 million at fundraiser, dwarfing Biden's record $26 million haul. Well, why is this about fake news? Well, just a week and a half ago, they had this fundraiser in New York with Bill Clinton, Obama, and Biden, and they were like, this is the biggest fundraiser in history. Oh, really? Yeah, that lasted a week. Watch this. Trump's raking $43 million in fundraiser. Mega donors will boost the former president's campaign coffers by a record amount in a single event this weekend in Palm Beach, Florida. Thanks to one big fundraiser in Palm Beach, former President Donald Trump's campaign will emerge with $43 million richer this weekend, an event host confirmed to the Epoch Times on April 4th. The response to our fundraising efforts has been overwhelming, and we've raised over $43 million so far, said billionaire John Paulson in an email that was sent to the Epoch Times. The amounts occurred for the April 6th inaugural leadership dinner is 65% higher than the record-breaking $26 million that Democratic opponent President Joe Biden raked in from a star-studded event in New York last week. At the time, President Biden's campaign said no other political fundraiser in history had generated so much money until this week. So guess what? Trump is winning across the board. He's winning. He's tied in one swing state and winning the other six. Okay? He's winning, you know, in the Electoral College projections, and he's winning with small donors, big time with small donors, and now he's winning with big donors. Because you know why? They see the writing on the wall. They see the writing on the wall. This is all, you know, you gotta read the tea leaves, folks. You gotta see what's going on. That's no accident that these big money donors are now lining up behind Trump because they think he's going to win. Now, I put this story in because I've gotten emails from you guys and I've had the same experience. So I wanted to cover this story. This story says, the biggest problem in GOP fundraising is that we don't treat donors well. Okay? And this has to do with donating through WinRed, which if you notice, all these candidates and stuff, you know, even Trump, when you go to donate, it goes to WinRed, which is like Act Blue on the Democratic side, okay? But then once you do, it's unbelievable what happens. We made a mistake, the author says. We once donated to a Republican Senate candidate through the WinRed back in 2020. We have endured 3 years of nonstop, abusive, insulting, and threatening text messages and email solicitations from a wide variety of Republican candidates, some we have never heard of. Yes, a lot from people soliciting for Trump, but that's a minority of the messages. I received two text messages today that were borderline profane. I wish I had screenshot them, something about a candidate having balls. Whatever that is. There's no way to turn off the text. Blocking doesn't help because they keep coming from different numbers. I've unsubscribed from more emails than I can count, but they keep coming from new lists. And it's basically this guy is saying, and it's happened to me, you send $50 in because you want to help President Trump, and they spend $100 trying to get you to give $500. And you know what it's all about? It's all about consultants making money. It's not about helping the candidates. I get messages all the time from you guys saying, is there a place I can send a check to Trump? I want to make sure it goes to Trump. And the answer is no. You got to go through WinRed. And I don't get it, except for I get the fact that the RNC and the whole Republican structure was all about the consulting class. They have no problem spending $50 million on a Senate race and losing. You know why? They made $50 million. Okay? This is part of what's wrong. Like Charlie Kirk says, you don't know how to win. The Republicans in Nebraska don't know how to win. They don't know what winning is. And it's just, I just had to put that in with the fundraising because I know a lot of you are bugged by that. But you can't stop. You gotta keep giving because we got to have the money to defeat these guys. So I wish I had a better answer, but I don't. Now, I do have some good news. There's a couple things election-related that are good news. Breaking, Wisconsin voters overwhelmingly vote to ban Zuckerbucks' private election funding. Now, I talked to you last week about the fact that the city of Milwaukee had just taken $1 million in Zuckerbucks, not to help get out the vote, but to buy the actual election machines, the tabulators. And I'm like, how can that be possible? How can that not be against the law? Well, it's because they didn't pass the law until this week. They took the money before the law got passed. Wisconsin voters have approved a constitutional amendment banning private money for elections. The constitutional amendment passed on Tuesday, 54-46, after it was proposed by Republicans who were fed up with the money funneled into the elections by Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg, dubbed Zuckerbucks. Wisconsin has spoken, and the message is clear. Elections belong to voters, not out-of-state billionaires, GOP Chairman Brian Schimming said. Joe Biden won Wisconsin in 2020 with $8.8 million that went from Zuckerbucks to the state's five largest cities. Okay? Now, my question is, why is the Republican Party holding their convention in Milwaukee? You really think having your convention in Milwaukee is going to help you win Wisconsin? You really think going to the place where they can bring protesters, where the police won't protect you, where they just took Zuckerbucks is a good idea? What are you, stupid? Yeah, Ronna McDaniel did that. She's gone. Message to the RNC. Get the hell out of Milwaukee. Have it someplace where we can celebrate our conservative values, not where you're going to be under attack. Get a clue. My goodness. Here's some more good news. This is in New Mexico. Judge sides with conservative group in its push to access published voter rolls online. And this is what's going on, folks. Now that Catherine Engelbrook with True the Vote and these other groups out there, Mike Lindell, are looking at voter rolls and exposing the problems in them, what is the left trying to do? Oh, we can't let those out to protect people's safety and stuff. And the judge said, New Mexico, his grant said no. A federal judge has ruled that New Mexico election officials violated public disclosure provisions of the National Voter Registration Act by refusing to provide voter rolls to a conservative group and its public online database. New Mexico election officials violated public disclosure provisions in the opinion of the judge, a federal judge, ordered Friday from Albuquerque U.S. District Court James Browning, who mostly sided with the Voter Reference Foundation in its efforts to expand a free database of registered voters so that the groups and individuals can take it upon themselves to try to find potential irregularities or fraud. Election officials in several states and privacy advocates have raised alarms about a push by several conservative groups to gain access to state voter rolls, saying the list could find their way into hands of malicious actors. You mean like the Zuckerberg people? Malicious actors? Yeah. And that voters could be disenfranchised through intimidation, possibly by canceling their registration to avoid public disclosure of their home address and party affiliation. So this is the fact that they've got millions of illegal voters on the voter rolls through that ERIC system, which we've gotten out of in most of the red states, okay, led by Ohio. And they don't want you going through the voter rolls and saying, this person's dead. This person left the state 5 years ago. They don't want that. But the judge just ruled it's the law. Okay? The data sharing ban largely deprives individuals and entities of the ability to engage with disclosed records in such a way that facilitates identification of voter registration-related irregularities, Browning wrote, Judge Browning wrote. His ruling builds on federal appeals court ruling in February that Maine must release its voter list to another conservative backroom, the Public Interest Legal Foundation, that's conducting independent audits by comparing voter rolls in one state against those in another. So when you say, when you hear people say, oh, 2024 is going to be just like 2020, nothing's been fixed, you know, it's a disaster. No, it's not. We're going through the voter rolls. We're getting rid of these people. And you're part of that. Okay? You're part of that. Matter of fact, I was on a conference call with Catherine Ehrenbrooks, True the Vote, this week, and they have a system where you yourself, you don't even need a group. You can literally go to their website and get access at truethevote.org and get access to the voter files in your county, and you can go through and see if there's any irregularities, like 20 people registered at an empty lot, okay? Or people whose date of birth is 100 years ago. So take action. We are taking action, and we're going to have an event here in Akron, Ohio, or in Medina, Ohio, on Wednesday, with a group that says they found 732,000 people in the Ohio voter database who aren't legitimate. We're going to have a bunch of people there, and then we're going to, I talked to Secretary of State Frank LaRose, and he said, my message to them is, I want what they want. If we can work together to identify these people, I want to get them off the rolls. And I believe he means that. So we're all working on that, folks. It's getting better. It's getting better. All right, a couple more things before we wrap up the first half of the show. This is kind of interesting. Adam Schiff is worried that Trump will throw him in prison. We're taking this seriously, he said. Really? Okay. Adam Schiff and members of the January 6th committee are reportedly taking former President Donald Trump's threats to throw them in prison seriously. As Trump is poised to win the Republican presidential nomination, some lawmakers are becoming more agitated about the prospects of Trump taking back the White House. Last month, Trump called for J6 committee members to be jailed. You know why? Because the chairman of the committee investigating the January 6th committee said they falsified information, they destroyed evidence, they committed crimes. He didn't say, I think they should be jailed because they were against me and I'm a dictator. That's what they want you to think. That's they want their the people who took the COVID vax and can't think straight to think. But that's not what he's saying. The evidence shows that Liz Cheney, Adam Schiff, and these people committed crimes. And they should be put in jail because they committed crimes. But oh, no. Adam Schiff is going to play the victim role, if you can believe that. Let's see. Last month, Trump called for January 6th committee to be jailed. In August, he also said he would have no choice but to lock up deep state stooges who had lied to the American people. This is a quote from Zoe Lufkin, the Democrat from San Jose, California. If he intends to eliminate our constitutional system and start arresting his political enemies, I guess I would be on that list. Oh, you mean like what Joe Biden's doing? You mean what the Department of Injustice and Merrick Garland are doing? To grandmas, to media members, their political enemies? You mean like that? Oh, no. One thing I did learn on the committee is to pay attention and to listen to what Trump says because he means it. Yeah? Well, I sure as hell hope he means it this time. However, Representative Adam Schiff said he's now having real-time conversations with his staff to make sure he stays safe if Trump follows through on his threats. We're taking this seriously because we have to, Schiff said. We've seen this movie before and how perilous it is to ignore what someone is saying when they say they want to be a dictator. Really? Really, Adam Schiff? Yeah. Well, you can take Trump at his word. We sure can't take you at your word. And I'm telling President Trump, if you don't lock these people up, you're a fool. You're just a fool. We chanted for months in 2016, lock her up, lock her up, because we knew, we the people knew, that Hillary Clinton was a criminal. She is a criminal. So is Bill Clinton. So is Chelsea. So is everyone around them, Podesta and the rest of them. We must have equal justice under the law. That's why the flag's upside down. We must return to equal justice under the law. But oh, they don't want that. But here's another sign that they know they're going to lose. Here's another sign. Well, White House announces plan to protect bureaucrats from being fired by new Trump administration. President Joe Biden's administration announced plans on Thursday to protect bureaucrats from being fired by a potential second Trump administration. Well, if they were going to win, why would they do this? The U.S. Office of Personnel Management finalized a rule that protects employees in civil service by preventing the removal of their status and protections involuntarily, according to a press release. Under the new rule, an administration wishing to shift federal employees to a new category, making them easier to fire, would have to go through an elongated process, which is meant to be more time-consuming for the future president before he can fire them. Okay? Let's see. Career federal employees deliver critical service for Americans in every community, OPM Director Kiran Aja said in a press release. This final rule honors 2.2 million career civil servants, helping ensure that people are hired and fired based on merit and that they can carry out their duties based on their expertise and not political loyalty. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The rule is widely viewed as a response to an executive order signed by Trump in 2020. The executive order targeted federal workers, removing protections from some employees and making it easier to hire and fire them. Schedule F, the OPM press release stated, would have rid employees of their civil service protections, which ensured employment decisions are based on merit and not political. This rule is about making sure the American public can continue to count on federal workers, 2.2 million of them, to apply their skills and expertise in carrying out their jobs, no matter their personal political beliefs. Oh, really? 96% of them are Democrats. Yeah, and when they were polled about the January 6th political prisoners and having a fair trial, they said they should be hung, that they were guilty, that they wanted to be on the jury to make sure they were found guilty. Yeah, but this is all merit-based, and they're there to serve us. Well, here's a memo, okay? Anything they can do, we can undo. We just have to have the will to undo it. And one last thing before we break, the other way you can tell that they think they're going to lose is because they're now starting to pressure Sotomayor, who's 69 years old, on the Supreme Court to resign this June so that Biden can appoint a younger person because they don't want to redo the mistake they made with Ruth Bader Ginsburg that resulted in us having the Supreme Court majority. Why would they be asking Sotomayor to resign if they thought Biden was going to win? Good thought for the closing of the first half of the show. I hope you've enjoyed the first half of this podcast. We'll be back with more. In the second half, we did make two asks. We asked people in Nebraska to call, right, to call their representatives and tell them that you need to change the law so we are a winner-take-all state, okay? We'll have more asks in the second half of the show, but I sure appreciate you joining us. So we're going to break for a couple of short messages, and we'll be back. You're listening to the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast, and my name is Tom Zawistowski.
The We the People Convention News and Opinion Radio Program is paid for by donors like you. You can donate to the We the People Convention and support our cause by going to wethepeopleconvention.org or by sending your check in any amount to We the People Convention, P.O. Box 6211, Akron, Ohio 44312.
When you're playing a video, including our podcast, you'll see this little cloud button. And if you click it, it'll actually download the video to your hard disk. And this works on our podcast page as well. If you're playing our podcast, and it's going to be loud, so I won't play it for much, but there's our podcast playing, and you can see this little download button, okay? The other thing you got to notice on our podcast page is that there's a link here where you can send me a message
about this podcast. Hey, it was great. Hey, I didn't like it. What, you know, something was wrong, or here's a correction, that kind of thing. You can use that link. And then these are the stories that I covered in this particular podcast. And you'll see there's links that go to the stories, to the articles that I used in reporting on that. So you can click on that. You'll also see that you can sign up for our emails and text messages, but you can also watch our podcast on Roku TV and on Amazon Fire TV. And these are the instructions for doing that. So this is all on our podcast page, right? Right on the front page where the yellow button was. So if you click there, you know, this is our podcast page. These are the instructions for watching on Roku TV or Amazon Fire. And I watch our podcast on TV. It just feels more comfortable. So you can do that. We're also on Rumble. If you go to Rumble, you should join Rumble. And, you know, it's Tom Z at WTPC. You'll see our podcast there. So you can get us a lot of different ways, including on Apple iTunes. And then this is an audio version of our podcast. If you click here, it'll just play the audio of the podcast. It will not, show you the video. So people can, you know, listen to that while they're jogging or, you know, working out, working in the yard, or just relaxing and just want to listen to the audio and not watch the video. And again, this is available on phone, on your iPad, on your laptop, on your computer, any way you want. And you can share, you know, this, you know, whatever you see. If you're on a page that you, you know, you really like, and you know, you see an article that you think, geez, I've got to share this article, you know, with someone in my family, you can send them an email by clicking on the little envelope. You can post it on Parler or MeWe. If you click on this, you get all kinds of options, you know, where you can put it on Twitter or Facebook, whatever, which we don't support, but you can do whatever you want. So we ask that you share what you see on our We the People Convention site, and that you get more people to look at it, because that's the whole idea here, to help educate people, inform them. And then, as I said before, Link, we're not just about talk, we're about action. And in my podcast every week, which is published every Saturday, so if you know, the new podcast usually comes out every Saturday, and in that podcast, I will ask you to do certain things that will help protect and defend your individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. So that's the We the People Convention website. Come back often, use it to be formed, be informed, and share it with others. Thanks a lot. All right. And we sure appreciate you guys who do go to the website. We certainly appreciate everyone that tells other people about what we do here. It is about protecting our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. The information I give you is because it affects you, affects us, affects our freedom, liberty, and prosperity. I asked you to make two efforts this week. In the first half of the show, I wanted you to join Tucker Carlson and support his efforts to keep bringing us real information that you can't get anywhere else. That's important. It's worth $9 a month. Okay, and I'm not a show for Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson's got a lot of money. He doesn't need the money, but we need the news. Okay, and I asked you in Nebraska to fight like hell to get this winner-take-all bill passed, to do what it takes. If you want to save our country, now's the time, okay? So we're in this together, and it's not just about donations. We can't do what we do without the donations, but it's also about telling other people about this. Why? So more people will act on the things we ask them to do. So share this podcast with everyone you know. Make sure you download our phone app at Google or Apple Store. It's WTPC Space Convention. Download our phone app. You can see all the videos, read the stories, and I can message you on the phone app without any cost to us. So download the phone app. And then we are on Twitter, even though it says in that video we're not. We're on Twitter. Share our posts on Twitter. We've been picking up followers. We've been, you know, getting the word out. Again, why? So we can act together to protect and defend our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. Okay? So now we're going to talk a little bit more about international things, you know, in the second half of the show, because I haven't given a lot of time to that, and it just seems that this is the right time to do that. So this guy, who is a Ohio congressman, Representative Mike Turner from
the Dayton area where Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is literally just a tool. He's a tool for the military-industrial complex. And so he was on Face the Nation, right, CBS, because that's where he belongs, because he's a trans-Republican. He's a Republican that identifies as a Democrat, okay? And he says Ukraine aid will have overwhelming support in Congress. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Turner said Sunday on CBS Face the Nation that more funding for Ukraine will have overwhelming support in Congress. He said, yeah, I think there already is significant and very strong support among Republicans and certainly among Americans across the country for more aid for Ukraine. Except the latest CNN poll I found said 54% of Americans were against it. The majority of Americans aren't, Mike. Sorry. Now, as this package moves, certainly there are going to be some discussions, you know, in both the Senate and the House. I've had discussions about the border itself, and certainly there have been discussions about the manner in which the non-military humanitarian aid is structured. But I think overall, we're going to get a package that is going to be negotiated with the Senate and the White House so that we'll have a bill the president can sign. Oh, we need a bill the president can sign. We don't need a bill that gives the American people what they want, like a closed border, Mike? A closed border? Oh, no, no. We need to give $60 billion to Ukraine, right? Because like this, the O'Keefe, as the interviewer said, well, whatever gets done, pass before Congress takes its next long weekend break, which is scheduled to begin around April 22nd. So they've been off for 2 weeks. They're going to come back for like a week, and then they're going away for two more weeks. Well, I certainly is my hope. And as President Zelensky has made clear to Speaker Johnson, we are at a critical point. We are at a critical juncture on the ground that is beginning to be able to have impact, not only morale in Ukraine that are fighting, Ukrainians that are fighting, but also in their ability to fight. Putin knows that they're having trouble. They don't have the weapons. This is obviously an area where we cannot allow Putin to win. Our European allies are saying that Putin's goal is a war beyond Ukraine with Europe. We need to stop him in Ukraine. Okay? Well, that's just a damned lie, Mike. It's just a damned lie. That is a propaganda, and we're here to expose the propaganda. Okay? The bottom line is the Ukrainians aren't going to win. They aren't winning, and this has nothing to do with winning, and there's going to be no war with NATO unless you fools make it happen. So here's some proof, okay? We always bring receipts at wethepeopleconvention.org, okay? Here's the receipts. Exclusive. Russians producing 3 times more artillery shells than U.S. and Europe combined for Ukraine. Russia appears on track to produce nearly 3 times more artillery munitions than U.S. and Europe, a key advantage ahead of what is expected to be another Russian offensive in Ukraine later this year. Russia is producing about 250,000 artillery munitions per month, or about 3 million a year, according to NATO intelligence estimates, as well as sources from, according to CNN and Russian defense production efforts. Collectively, the U.S. and Europe have the capacity to generate only about 1.2 million munitions annually to send to Kiev, a senior European intelligence official told CNN. The U.S. military set a goal to produce 100,000 rounds of artillery a month by the end of 2025. This is first quarter of 2024. The Ukrainians are dying, and they're not going to be around in 2025, okay? Less than half of the Russian monthly output. Even in that number is now out of reach within the $60 billion in Ukraine funding stalled in Congress, a senior army official told reporters last week. What we are in now is a production war, a senior NATO official told CNN. The outcome in Ukraine depends on how each side is equipped to conduct this war. Officials say Russia is currently firing around 10,000 shells a day compared to just 2,000 shells a day from Ukrainian side. The ratio is worse in some places along the 600-mile front, according to a European intelligence official. How do you win when they're firing 10,000 shells a day and you're firing 2,000? You think you win that? And guess what? We can't ramp up, because we've completely destroyed our manufacturing in this country, okay? We can't ramp up. This is a joke. No, it's not. It's a travesty. Mike Turner's a damned liar. And every congressman who votes for this Ukraine bill is a damned liar. You want the next receipt? Okay. I didn't know this guy before. I saw him on Charlie Kirk's show, and I think Steve Bannon on it. His name is James Rickards, R-I-C-K-A-R-D-S. Seems like a very smart guy. And he wrote an article called Ukraine's Starting to Get Dangerous. And he has a website called thedailyreckoning.com. And I'll post this article on our website under the podcast section where we link all the articles to all the stories that I cover. Okay? But listen to what he says, folks. Let's just take a minute to get an objective, I believe, assessment. A lot of people seem to have forgotten about the Ukraine war. That's a mistake. Russia is slowly but steadily defeating Ukraine, which is becoming increasingly obvious to everyone except the most anti-Russian diehards like Mike Turner and Chuck Schumer and McConnell and the rest of these war hawks. That's leading to desperation in elite Western circles determined to stop Russia one way or the other. In their minds, they simply can't let Putin win. You heard Mike Turner say that. We can't let Putin win. Okay? Well, follow me here. They think that if Putin wins in Ukraine, he'll next move on to the Baltic states, Poland, and elsewhere. You know, the West is getting desperate based on recent threats by France's Emmanuel Macron to send French troops to Ukraine. The vice president of Russia's Duma, Praetor Tolstoy, who's a descendant of the great Russian writer Leo Tolstoy, warned that French troops would be priority targets for Russian forces if they entered Ukraine, because it would be an escalation. Even though France would send troops independent of NATO, that puts us on a very dangerous path that ultimately leads to direct conflict between NATO and Russia, and that path ends in nuclear war ultimately. Tolstoy added that it would take just 2 minutes to nuke Paris. It's not hard to envision how quickly things could escalate if France decided to send troops to Ukraine. Meanwhile, NATO is preparing to send F-16s to Ukraine. Airfields in Ukraine are highly vulnerable to Russian attack, especially since Ukraine's air defenses are heavily depleted at this point, and the Russian Air Force is becoming increasingly active in Ukraine. But if NATO allows the F-16s to be based in its own air bases, Putin has warned that these airfields would become legitimate targets as strikes against Russian forces were launched from them. By the way, Russia has hypersonic missiles that NATO has no practical ability to shoot down, so these attacks would likely be successful. Of course, NATO would have to retaliate in kind. Well, you can imagine where all that could lead. Putin has nothing to gain and everything to lose if he were to go beyond Ukraine, but they don't want you to know that. First off, the theory that Putin will invade other countries if he wins in Ukraine is nonsense. The Russian army lacks the men and material to occupy Ukraine while simultaneously invading other countries. This isn't the Soviet Union with its massive tank armies poised to roll over Europe. The Soviet communism is long dead, so there's no ideological basis for Russia to invade Europe. These days, Russia is, get this, a conservative Orthodox Christian nation. They always leave that out. How many of you think that Russia is still a communist country? It's not. That's a fact. This is, let's see here. But more importantly, Putin has absolutely no incentive to invade any of these nations, which are NATO members. What do they have that he wants? Why would he invade Poland? What does he want from Poland? All it would do is trigger Article 5 of the NATO Charter, which stimulates an attack on one member's attack on all, inviting massive NATO response. At that point, you're on a fast track to nuclear war. Putin is fully aware of that. Fearmongers like Mike Turner like to point to what Putin once said in a speech. Whoever doesn't miss the Soviet Union doesn't have a heart. Think about that. He's saying, whoever doesn't miss the Soviet Union doesn't have a heart. They like to point that out as proof that he wants to recreate the Soviet Union, but they conveniently omit what he said next. Whoever wants it back doesn't have a brain. Whatever you think of Putin, he definitely has a brain. He has no intentions to restore the Soviet Union. But like any great power, Russia has interests, and Ukraine has always been a vital strategic interest to Russia. And Russia is not going to tolerate Ukraine joining the NATO alliance that's hostile to Russia. Critics say Ukraine is a free and independent nation that can join NATO if it wants. Russia has no say in the matter, even though Ukraine has borders with Russia. Well, that's bullcrap, okay? We wouldn't let missiles in Cuba on our border, but they're supposed to, okay? And then that idiot Blinken goes over to Europe to Brussels this week and says, Ukraine's going to be a member of NATO. Why don't you just tell Putin to use nuclear weapons now? Why don't you just start World War III right now, you fool? Because they want it. They want it. These people are trying to destroy our country. They're idiots. No, they're not idiots. They're ideologues who are communists who want to destroy the West. And this is a good way to do it. This is the sad part of this, folks. So I'm asking you, call your congressmen, Senate and House, and say, no, we want peace in Ukraine. Like Trump says, stop the killing. Where is the peace talks? Whoa, where are they? Where's our border? You're going to spend $60 billion to defend Ukraine's border and nothing for ours? Hell no. And see, and as a podcast, Tucker Carlson interviewed Marjorie Taylor Greene. You might want to see that at Tucker Carlson Network, where Marjorie Taylor Greene says she thinks Mike Johnson is being blackmailed into voting for this crap. That's the truth. Because we should not do this. We should defend our border. There's nobody defending our border. Mike Turner doesn't give a damn about the invasion in our country. Why? Because the people who fund him benefit. It's that simple. The people in his district don't want, you know, the migration to keep going crazy. So I had a story last week that you guys went crazy over and all watched and shared. Comer says China has infiltrated every part of the U.S. federal government and society. And I put a link on that page that said, click here to see dozens of links showing Chinese ownership of American politicians. They have infiltrated us and bought us because they intend to destroy us. And we're letting them. And I said in my posts and my emails that you should get if you sign up at wethepeopleconvention.org, for our text messages and our emails, I sent out, I said, we pay billions of dollars a year to the NSA, the CIA, the military, the FBI, the DOJ, to what? Stop our enemies from destroying our country. How could this happen if it wasn't willful? If it wasn't willful, we have traitors amongst us. And so I talked to you, you know, and I said, Mike Turner's people don't want to see this border invasion continue. They want it stopped, and he doesn't give a damn? Well, we talked about the Chinese illegals coming in to the United States, remember? I said, why didn't the U.S. military meet them and say, hey, come here. We got a nice military base. We're going to take all you 39,000 Chinese to see what the hell you're doing here. But we didn't do that, right? So what comes out this week? Holy crap. Chinese nationals illegally entering U.S. in record numbers since 2021. They are now claiming, folks, it's not 39,000. It's not 39,000, which is plenty bad enough. The number of Chinese nationals illegally entering U.S., primary single military-aged men, has skyrocketed under the Biden administration. On the record, of the record number of Chinese nationals illegally entering the U.S. along the southwest border, the majority are entering California. At the northern border, the majority are entering in New York State, according to U.S. Customs and Border Protections. Since fiscal 2021 through February of 2024, 140,839 Chinese national illegals entered the U.S. nationwide, excluding those who evaded capture. What the hell? 140,839 military-age Chinese men are in our country and they aren't under arrest. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they are. And one of the guys actually showed up at an Air Force base this week because the Chinese are telling them where our Air Force bases are. Oh, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Right, Mr. Turner? Mr. Defense Hawk? Who needs money for the military? What? So they can't protect us? Is that what you want? Yeah, that's what they want. They want to turn our country over to the damn commies. That's what's going on here. In fiscal 2021, 23,471 Chinese nationals illegally entered the U.S. The number increased to 27,756 in 2022, 53,700 in 2023, and so far there's been 39,912 through this February since October. My God. So the question is, what's going on here, folks? You can't, and again, how come we only heard the 39,000 number last fall and there were 23,000 in 2021? And here's the other thing. If you can count them, why can't you arrest them? And it says that there's more that got away, so you got to figure that's another 20 or 30,000, I would think. Okay? But you're counting them. Step right here, sir. This military officer will take care of you, and you deport him back to China. But we're not doing that. And no one gives a damn. Including Mike Turner and your Republican congressmen, of which Mike Johnson is going to put this on the floor, and it will be passed with every Democrat saying, yes, we're all for the invasion of the U.S. We're not going to close the border, but we're going to send money we don't have to Ukraine, and they're going to be joined by at least 100, if not 125, quote-unquote, Republicans who are going to lie to you with this crap, who aren't going to read that article I just told you, that there's no way Ukraine wins, so we're just pissing the money away. But worse, we're pissing away a generation of Ukrainian men who are dying every damn day. So who? Mike Turner can make money? So his military industrial, you know, complex buddies can make money? So the Chinese can destroy America, I guess. I guess. Yeah, we're not going to close the border, but we're Republicans, don't you know? We're Republicans. Wow. And so many of you are aware, but if you're not aware, you need to understand that in Scotland, okay, they passed this speech law that is freaking insane. And basically saying that you can go to prison for saying something they don't like about a quote-unquote protected class. So if that isn't a total violation of free speech, I don't know what is. But what I do know is that Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling, who's a billionaire, has been fighting the trans movement, and she just won't quit. And she deserves a ton of credit. She just keeps doubling down. And so this time, she went after these Scottish guys. Hate speech laws are among the most dangerous ones you will find in the books anywhere. And in Scotland in particular, one such law that seeks to punish people for the crime of offending someone from a so-called protected class has recently gone into effect, much to the dismay of prominent public figures like J.K. Rowling. The popular Harry Potter author has been under fire for years now from radical transgender activists and their supporters, many of whom has frequently accused her of hate speech and has even reported her to the police for pointing out some inconvenient truths about the biology of males versus females. Rawlings, as we've noted before, has endured public shaming efforts and death threats as well. And at one point, left-wing whacktivists published photos of her home with her address included on social media in a clear and dangerous attempt at intimidating her into silence. More recently, Rowling's daughter was targeted by unhinged critics, which led to Mama Rowling going nuclear on them. In the aftermath of the law taking effect, as well as Rowling's criticism of it and her continued calling out of transgender women, Scottish police announced that her statements do not run afoul of the new law. Scotland's First Minister, Hamas Youssef, who pushed for the law's passage, has been a vocal critic of Rowling, but T2 has agreed her statements do not rise to criminality, though he does believe that what she said is offensive and upsetting. Okay? But in an ironic twist, however, it has been reported that Yousaf himself has received more complaints by the thought police than Rowling under the new law over a 2020 speech he gave complaining about people in positions of power in Scotland were too white. The racist who calls you a racist. We all have to fight this every step of the way. There can be no room, none, for censorship of speech. And no one gets to decide what's misinformation or disinformation. No one gets to decide that because you can't. All you can have is free speech. You can say whatever you want, and if I don't like it, I can ignore it. But you must defend their right to say it. And that's where things are going off the rails. Why? Because the commies can't win if there's free speech. The trannies can't win if there's free speech, right? Because it's all a lie. And I told the kids, you know, when I got the trans question at the high school this Monday, I said, hey, go to our website. Breitbart did a story about how two Chinese billionaires have funded the trans movement in the U.S. to destroy families and kids' lives from the beginning. Go look it up. The flag's upside down because we're under attack. We're at war. China is at war with us. Okay? You should have seen their eyeballs then. I bet a lot of them went to look it up. Good thing, too. So then we got to deal with this. So we're going to give $60 billion to Ukraine that we don't have. We're $34 trillion in debt. And at the same time, it is reported the Biden administration made $236 billion in improper payments last year. What? $236 billion in improper payments. Is anybody fired? No. And we're going to move to protect them so Trump can't fire them, right? All these people need to be fired, President Trump. The amount is bigger than what Washington spends on NASA, the Department of Education, and Homeland Security combined. Think that's insignificant? $236 billion? My God. For fiscal year 2023, 14 agencies reported a total estimated $236 billion in improper payments across 71 programs, said a March 26 GAO report. Improper payments refer to payments that should not have been made or were made in the incorrect amount. The $236 billion calculation does not include certain government programs that agencies determined were susceptible to significant improper payments. It doesn't include them. So it's even more than this. As such, GOA believes that the $236 billion estimate potentially does not represent the full extent of improper payments. The group pointed out that improper payments suggest a material deficiency or weakness in internal controls at agencies. Yeah, but we're going to pass a rule that you can't reform these public servants who bring their skills to these agencies, and it's based on merit to serve you, the American people. It's all a lie, folks. It's all a damn lie. And this is a case for smaller government. The government's too big. You can't, the military has no idea what happens to the money we give them. They've tried to audit them. Look it up. They tried to audit the military and they can't because their records are horrific. What do you think is going to happen at $60 billion, right? Is it going to defeat Putin? Hell no. This is the scam. This is what we're fighting. That's why we're trying to restore our republic, right? That's why we're trying to restore the rule of law. That's why we're trying to restore representative government, because we don't have it, because stuff like this is happening. In the meantime, the court fiascos keep going and going and going and going, and Trump is doing pretty well overall, okay? And it's not going to affect the election. It's not going to affect the election. Dershowitz had this to say, though, about little Fannie Willis, okay, who's really kind of screwed the pooch here. Dershowitz cites overwhelming evidence against Fannie Willis calls for a criminal investigation. And he's right. She's a criminal. This DEI hire as a district attorney in Georgia who met with the White House and has a White House aide in her office to cook up the RICO claims against Trump and the other people who showed or proving that the election in Georgia was fraudulent and couldn't be certified, right? She perjured herself. Retired Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz said Tuesday that Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis should be on trial for some of the worst crimes that he has seen prosecutors commit, and called for the appointment of an independent prosecutor to lead a criminal investigation into her actions. She ought to be on trial for perjury, conspiracy to commit perjury, witness tampering, Mr. Dershowitz told Newsmax in an April 2nd interview. The evidence is overwhelming that she committed perjury, including technically specific evidence and several tampering with several witnesses. And Trump has said all along, the allegations are completely phony, and she's a phony, and I hope she goes to jail. What do we say? We will not have our nation back until all these people who misused, abused our laws, our justice for political purposes go to prison. All the people who are going after John Eastman to disbar him, and now they're trying to disbar this other Trump attorney in D.C. because he's a lawyer in D.C. They're trying to disbar him. Why? Because they were right. The conspiracy, the criminal conspiracy of the stolen 2020 election has to be front and center next year. They all need to go to prison. Comey and McCabe, all those guys, they committed a crime. RICO, right? They went and joined together to basically create a criminal syndicate to commit a crime to steal the presidency of the United States. All of them need to be charged. Do we have the guts to do that? What person is Trump going to name attorney general with the guts to do this? Because it must be done. You can't do like Trump did with Hillary. Oh, they're good people. I went to their wedding. They're trying to destroy the United States of America and turn us over to the communist Chinese. That's a fact. We've proven it. We've given you receipts. There's more to come. Will we do it? That's a good question. A couple more stories here as we get close to the end of the podcast. This was good news. Federal judge rules for NRA members and against the ATF pistol brace rule. This is one of those things where they don't want to follow the law. The Second Amendment makes it clear that we can own guns. We can protect ourselves. They're not just for hunting. They're to protect ourselves against the unlawful government, which our government is. And so what do? They keep trying to pass rules to take your guns away. Okay? So here's a story. A federal judge has blocked the ATF from enforcing its pistol brace rule for millions of members of the National Rifle Association. It came after the NRA filed a lawsuit against the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and Explosives, arguing that the agency's rule to reclassify brace-equipped pistols as short-barreled rifles is unconstitutional. U.S. District Judge Sam Lindsay sided with the gun rights group, arguing that the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals already concluded that the ATF pistol brace rule fails the logical outgrowth test and violates the Administrative Procedure Act and is unlawful under this act. The court therefore sees no reason why it should not consider this argument an APA claim in ruling on plaintiff's motion. To not do so would be exalt form over substance, particularly since the Fifth Circuit has already determined this claim has a substantial likelihood in succeeding on its merits. Compliance with the final rule is not discretionary, and the NRA's members face severe penalties for their failure to comply with the rule, Judge Lindsay wrote. Accordingly, both of the final requirements for injunctive release are satisfied because the threatened injury to the NRA members outweighs the threatened harm to the defendants, and the enforcement of the final rule under the circumstances will not deserve the public's interest. So basically, The pistol brace were first marketed in 2012 as a way of attaching a pistol to the shooter's forearm. You can kind of see what it looks like in this picture, okay? And it's basically you put your pistol in this brace, and if you're handicapped, it helps you stabilize the gun and some of that. However, many users found that braces could also be placed against the shoulder like the stock of a rifle. This caused the ATF to rule that the gun was not a pistol, but was a short-barreled rifle. And now the court has said, no, that's not true. And the ATF can't make you register these or pay fines or anything like that. So that was a win. This is another good story. Well, this is another important story. FBI violated American citizens' 4A rights 278,000 times. Bureau blasted over attempt to put gloss on Section 702. We have been fighting with this since they misused the 702 in the FISA court to spy on Trump. That's when we really started to see what was going on, okay? And now they're trying to pass this, and there's a lot of guys like Mike Turner in Ohio who are all for just pass it. This is from the 9/11 attacks. This is part of like the Patriot Act, where we need to give more resources to the DOJ and FBI to protect us, except they're using them to attack us. The FBI is attempting to rehabilitate the public image of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Service Act, Surveillance Act, as Congress has until April 19th to reauthorize it. The Bureau recently posted a video on X that features FBI Director Christopher Wray attempting to put a gloss on Section 702 as part of a months-long campaign. The Bureau's timely propaganda did not escape the attention of critics on X, where the post received community note that read, "The FBI violated American citizens' 4A rights 278,000 times with illegal, unauthorized FISA 702 searches." Blaze News, let's see here. Many in Congress will want to reauthorize FISA 702, which is set to expire April 19th, either without modification or most likely with fake reforms that fail to impose a warrant requirement for searches directed at Americans. Section 702 is a provision that enables the state to spy on foreign nationals located out the U.S. with the compelled aid of electronic communication service providers. So they can tell AT&T and Verizon, you have to share these records. The problem is many terrorists and other foreign adversaries were using email accounts serviced by U.S. companies talking to U.S. citizens. Supposedly, going through the courts to get a warrant to look at you as an American citizen was too costly. Because of the recourse required, because the government couldn't always meet the probable cause standard, which was designed to protect U.S. persons and persons in the U.S., we don't want you to make us get a warrant. It's illegal in the U.S. for the FBI or any law enforcement, your local police, to spy on you without a warrant, without a judge going, where's the evidence? Yeah, this looks like probable cause. We're going to authorize this. They're just willy-nilly doing it. And your congressman is going to let them, unless you drive them nuts. Ask number three, right? Number three, call your House and Senate members and say, no, you must demand that if the FBI DOJ wants to spy on an American, they need to get a warrant. And if they don't, they can't do it. Straightforward. You got that? Call your congressman, visit their local office, House and Senate, and say, listen, they have abused this. They have abused us. They did this with the January 6th political prisoners. They had no business looking at their phone records, but they did anyway. They need to be penalized. Congress, our elected officials need to protect us and defend the Constitution, which they swore an oath to protect, and stop this. Will you call? You better, if you want your individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. If you give a damn, you got to make this call. It's outrageous. Call your congressman. Couple more stories. This is a really good one that I think surprised a lot of you guys. It was posted like on Thursday or Friday. Prayer, Bible lessons, and a big red bus. How an Ohio group is bringing God to public schools. And this story surprised me. And you need to go to the website because it's a really long story that was done by, I think it was NBC News. And it's really long and in depth with a lot of pictures and information. I couldn't put it all on the webpage, but I did link to the story so you could do it. But let me give you the gist of this because it's really very cool. LifeWise Academy, that's LifeWise Academy, is permitted under a pair of little-known, decades-old U.S. Supreme Court rulings that allows for off-campus religious instruction during school hours at public schools. Whitehall, Ohio, after a morning lesson on multiplying fractions, about half of the students in fifth grade class at Etna Road Elementary School packed up their work and headed to the campus library. The other half, all wearing matching red t-shirts, put on their coats, lined up single file, and boarded a red bus with the words LifeWise Academy painted on the side. While their classmates were back at school browsing shelves of books, the children on the bus sang praise to Jesus. The students soon arrived at a church a half mile away where the next 30 minutes they would pray, read the Bible, and sing worship songs. Activities that have become a routine part of their week thanks to an Ohio-based nonprofit group on a mission to put God back in the public schools during the day. LifeWise Academy is permitted under a pair of little-known, decades-old Supreme Court rulings that allow for off-campus religious instruction during school hours. When LifeWise launched in 2018, the initial goal was to serve 25 schools by 2025, but it surpassed that goal long ago. By the start of this year, LifeWise has set up chapters in more than 300 schools in a dozen states, teaching 35 public school students weekly Bible lessons that are usually scheduled to coincide with lunch or non-core courses such as library, art, or gym class. Supporters say LifeWise, which teaches children character development through Bible lessons, complies with the separation of church and state. There is no such thing as separation of church and state. There's no such thing. Public schools are not allowed to directly promote or fund the program, which is offered free to students whose parents sign permission slips. Now, in the article, there's actually a link that says click here to see if there's a LifeWise school near you. You can also find out how to start a LifeWise chapter in your area. And folks, it's just another example that I tell you every week. Every week I tell you that the news, quote unquote, right? The propagandists want us to think that all we do is lose. All we do is lose. They all blare the headline, Trump, this judge denied Trump's motion, this, that, you know, Joe Biden is going to have the biggest fundraiser ever. Did they cover the Trump fundraiser? No, but you heard it here. Okay. But here's the reality, folks. You, me, we're all acting every day. I went to talk to 70 high school kids about liberty and freedom. You talk to people in your community. You're working with True the Vote and other groups to look at the voter rolls. You're helping the RNC. You're helping candidates that are MAGA candidates. Millions of us, like fire ants, are just out there working, and they can't stamp us out. That's why we're going to win. That's why Donald Trump isn't going to win anything for us. We're going to win for Donald Trump. We, the people, are going to defend our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. And this story is a perfect example. We've thought for 50 years you can't have religion in the public schools. You're wrong. Go read it. Share it. It's a fact. We're winning. They don't want you to know it. Don't listen to Tokyo Rose. You young people, go look that up. Okay? Don't listen to Tokyo Rose, soldier. We're winning. Keep fighting. And here's one last story for proof positive. UT Austin announces round of firings and latest step to comply with Texas DEI ban. We've talked about that various states, Florida and other states, are passing bans on DEI. Okay? And in Texas, they passed a ban. But now are the schools doing it? Well, they are. The University of Texas at Austin has laid off dozens of employees who used to work in the diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. The racist, anti-white diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. The university fired about 60 people, and some of the offices where they worked are expected to close by May 31st, according to a joint letter from the Texas Conference of American Association of University Professors and the Texas chapter of the NAACP. The firings were first reported by the Austin American Statesman, citing people familiar with the decision. UT Austin President Jay Hartzell said in an email Tuesday that the school was also disbanding the Division of Campus and Community Engagement, which provided support and resources for those who may face the most significant challenges in accessing education, according to the department's website. The AUP and NAACP said that about 40 people were fired used to work in that department. The change aims to bring the university into further compliance with Senate Bill 17, a state law approved last year that bans DEI initiatives in public universities and went into effect in January. The layoffs come as Texas colleges face increasing pressure to improve their compliance with SB 17. Last week, State Senator Brandon Creighton of Conroy said in a letter to university leaders that colleges could lose millions in state funding if they failed to comply with the law. Last month, Governor Greg Abbott said more laws will be passed next legislative session to make sure schools are enforcing the DEI ban. Hear, hear. Way to go, Texas. Our members in Texas, call the schools who do this and say, thanks for following the law. Call your representatives and say, make sure every school in Texas follows the law. Because this is a cancer that the Chinese injected into our society to destroy us, to divide us. CRT, DEI, trans movement, the women's movement, all gay marriage, it's all a communist plan to destroy our social fabric, to pit us against each other, to cause chaos so they can overthrow us. It's that simple. Okay? If you don't believe that, then you got to go back and watch some of our other podcasts, because that's the fact. Okay? I want to thank those of you who continue to donate to the 2024 Victory Fund at freedomforallpac.org. This is our federal super PAC, and I was working yesterday on our FEC filing. Yeah, I want to kill myself after that, okay, because of the detail I have to submit about what we did in the primary here in Ohio and around the country. And so, you know, thank you for your donations. We need you to continue to donate. Somebody wrote to me and said, I couldn't find the link. It's on the podcast page. If you go to the podcast page, you'll see the link down below, okay, in the list of articles. And you can go to freedomforallpac.org. But please keep donating. And more importantly, send me congressmen, senators, people in your state who are really mega, who are in a close race that we might be able to make a difference in. And we'll try to take some of these funds from our Victory Fund to affect that election. I don't care what state you're in. If we can get a win, let's get a win. So keep giving at freedomforallpac.org. And also, you know, tell me where we can help use these funds. So we're going to wrap up the podcast. Like I said to you earlier, tell people about it. Post it, share it. On our webpage, there's share links where you can share the URL. You can share the link to this. And if you have comments or questions or stories, write to me at info@wethepeopleconvention.org. info@wethepeopleconvention.org. We read them all. We'll respond to you. If I'm wrong about something, I told the kids in the high school, I said that it's got to be about truth. Always. You can't lie to yourself, to your parents, to your friends, to your employees, to your customers. You can't lie. And they said, well, are you telling the truth? And I said, I'll tell you what. We have thousands of people who watch this podcast every week. And if I say something that's wrong, you bet I'll hear about it. And you'll bet you can know for a fact that I will come on next week and say, I said this and it was wrong and I apologize. And they looked at me like I was from Mars. But I told them, you need to find people you can trust, like Tucker Carlson, like Tom Zamostowski. And thank you, by the way, for the people who filled out our survey in Ohio after the primary election, who said that I was the most trusted conservative in the state of Ohio. 57% said they trusted me more than Jim Jordan, more than the governor, more than our House Speaker, more than the GOP chairman. And I'm very proud of that. I got to do better. I need to be the most trusted person by far. But in that poll, 57% said I was the most trusted person, and Jim Jordan was at like 26%. That's pretty impressive. Thank you for your trust. It's important. It's all I got. If I don't have credibility, why would you watch this show? If I lied to you every week, why would you watch the show? Why would you tell anybody about it? Why would you act, right? Why would you get a Tucker Carlson subscription? Why would you, fight in Nebraska to pass this law? Why would you call your senator and congressman to say no on the FISA without the reform? You wouldn't. That's the relationship we have. Don't ever lie. Even when it hurts, tell the truth. Because if you lie, you live a life of failure. You're doomed. We as a nation are doomed. Tell the truth. Always. Always. Okay? All right. Well, enjoy the eclipse. I got my glasses, right? Enjoy the eclipse. If you get to see it, hopefully you'll have good weather in your area. Be happy. Be a happy warrior, right? Keep fighting for freedom and liberty and prosperity. Wherever you see the commies, confront them. Don't allow them to win in your life. Keep fighting. I hope you have a good week. I hope you're healthy and happy. I hope your family is well. If you're feeling ill, I hope that you get better this week. God willing, we'll both be back again next week for another edition of the We the People News and Opinion podcast. My name is Tom Zawistowski, and I sure appreciate you joining us. God bless you, and God bless America. Let's get